We've got a biblical worldview question of the week, and we are going to jump actually right into that conversation right now. Good morning to you, Nancy. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Oh, listen, it's good to be with you both. I see you're both up and ready to go and having a great program so far. So hopefully it will continue.
Let's see. Pressure's on you now.
I know.
Yeah, it's all about you.
Pressure's on you. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's great to hear your voice again this week, because this is such an important question. You know, when I think of God's creation and the creation account, and that which we have been brought about from the ground, why does it matter that we were created as a human being? Now, I posited this to Kelly. I said, because if he made us giraffes, we wouldn't be able to fit in our cars. So there's got to be a reason why he made us human in this form. Why do you think he did that?
Yes, and I think it fits in perfectly with what you were talking about earlier with suffering. And because we're all different, but no human being, because he's created by our perfect Lord and Savior, God, is a mistake. And I think in this culture where people are so dissatisfied, including Christians, with who they are, and so they want to identify with somebody else or something else, but I think this is why this is so important. We are who God created us to be. In all those whom God created are dearly loved by God as they are. And God purposed all humans to become more like him by the way we love God, by the way we love others, by the way we live our lives. And you know, it gets us out of self into God and into others when we focus on this. It's really quite fascinating to study this. It matters because life on earth does not work without God. It just simply doesn't. As somebody who tried to push him out of her life for 32 years, I can say without a doubt that God, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing makes sense without him. He's saving grace, his guidance. When we trust in God, we can go through the dark days. By ourselves, again, we become severely depressed, anxious, whatever, but that's the result of sin. And God is saying, through the consequences of sin, I will be with you. Because God made human beings in his image, imago Dei. It comes from the Latin word, as to English, as it's translated, the image of God. And God made us all with physical bodies, with a soul, and he made all humans unique and different from anything else he has created. We are all different. We all suffer. We all sin. That's what we have in common. We all have the ability to love. But this is the thing. We are different from animals, from any other species. We are humans. We are set apart by God. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them.
Okay, Nancy, I've got to ask, and I mean, I know that we generally know what it means to be made in the image of God, but dig deeper into that, the significance of being created in the image of God. What, flesh that out more for us.
Yes, and this is where it gets mind-boggling. It as I was reading this week, it's like, whoa, because being made in the image of God doesn't mean we're gods, little gods running around. It means that we reflect God's divine nature. We're built in the image of God to reflect his nature. And God gave mankind choices, we know, to obey and follow him or to go our own way. And sadly, we see it with Adam and Eve from the very beginning, and unfortunately that is carried on through to today, where we all have sinned and we all have a desire to go our own way. And thankfully, God took mercy on us, saved us from the penalty of sin, which is death, and gave us his son to die for us to pay the penalty for that. And that is to think that God did that for us. We are human beings. He did it so we could become more like him. And that's just the beauty of God's picture.
Well, then,
his plan for us.
Why does it matter, though? Why does it matter that we are distinctly human and we are not something else?
Yeah, because God gave us minds. With being in his, you know, in his image, he gave us minds. We can think and we can reason. We can love ourselves properly. And, you know, again, you're talking about mental illness. God loves every bit of us. And we need to rightfully love ourselves and stop beating ourselves up. Because somebody told us something about ourselves that wasn't right or good or hurtful. When we understand who we are, then we will have the will to know that we are loved. We will have the will to know that we matter, that we have purpose, and that we are called to follow Jesus, not the culture. And God has made us with the ability to appreciate beauty, you know, mm-hmm. the desire to learn, to create, to invent. He's given us gifts to care for others and to be light to those who don't trust God and to be that light during the good and bad times.
You know, I was just thinking of a quote from the poet. There's an American poet, Archibald MacLeish, and he said, "The only thing about a man that is a man is his mind, because everything else, you can find it in a pig and a horse." Right? There's no distinction. Yeah. All of us, heart, stomach, liver, lungs, right? All those types of things, every living creature has. But what is different and separates us from everything else is our mind. Mm-hmm. And you hit it right on the head.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. And I think, you know, when we begin to appreciate who we are and that our lives are broken at this point until we get to heaven, and God allows us to suffer the consequences of sin, all of us, in different ways. Like you were saying, Kelly, everybody's suffering. We, mm-hmm. you know, we just try to hide it. But you know, the thing is, the cool thing is, God is self-sustaining. He is self-sufficient. He does not need us. And I know you're saying that, you know, when I first read that, it's like, oh, that kind of hurts my feelings. But the truth is, he does not need us. We, however, cannot survive without him. And that is the crux right there. Our bodies require food and drink and rest. Our souls are not for us to live alone. We were created to have fellowship with God and then with others. That's how we were created. And to maintain healthy emotions and minds, we need God to guide us through life's good and challenging times. We weren't designed to go alone. And, you know, this is where, humble yourself, trust in God. You know, we see this through the scriptures. This is why we weren't created to do this alone. We need to think, exchange ideas. We need to learn from one another as human beings. But we need outlets. God gave us outlets to be creative, to satisfy ourselves, to encourage others, to give glory to God, who is the creator of all things. And, you know, this is the cool thing about God. He just didn't plop us down here and leave. He created this and then provided a way for us mm-hmm. to have fellowship with God and eventually live eternally. And that was because he gave us souls. That is the connect we have with God that's different from any animal, you know. And so how do we know God? How do we stay in fellowship with God? How do we know what God expects us to do? It's by reading and meditating on the Word of God. He gave us his Word. And, you know, for so many of us, like, oh, no, I haven't been in the scriptures for a week or 2 weeks or a month. That's on us, because God has given us this word to pick the Bible up and to start reading. God, what does this mean about you? And what does this mean about the way I should live? And we look at John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And he's talking in a spiritual way here. That God said, come to me all who are weary, and I will give you rest. He is here. He is present.
Yeah.
And the world says, you know, don't believe in that silliness. Just come on. Come with us. Just live for yourself. And we know how that ends, because we've all have tried that way. And it doesn't work. It just simply makes us miserable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Nancy, how we think and how we feel can be tied pretty tightly together at times. So talk about that. How does being human matter in how we think?
Yes. And, you know, this idea of God giving us a sense of right and wrong. It's like a two-year-old, where they give you that look and they go and do something otherwise, where you say, don't spill that milk, and they're looking at you with a glass of milk, and you know where it's going. It's going right on the floor. You know, we're given a chance, you know, to question and do what is morally right and wrong, but so often we look God in the face and pour the milk on the floor. You know, he has given us a mind that can discern right and wrong. And Adam and Eve were given a free will to choose and to make good, godly, moral choices to obey and then disobey God. God doesn't force us to love him. That's why he gave us the choice to love. And the same is true with us today. You know, they decided to ignore God's command and do their own thing. And then the consequences came and continue to come because of our own disobedience. You know, Ezekiel 18:20, the righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. God has equipped us, and it's our responsibility to do those things that God calls us to do, starting with loving him and loving others. And in the worst of the worst times that we were talking about earlier, to somehow understand that God's got this. It's his way of drawing us closer to him, and it's our way of being able to minister to others who are suffering, because our great hope is not on this earth, it's in heaven. It's this idea that we live well here and spend eternity in perfect peace with no suffering, no death. And that sounds pretty good to me.
Well, our purpose is to be in relationship with the Lord. So how does our humanity then, Nancy, matter in our relationship with Christ?
Yes. You know, most importantly, being human matters because when we believe in Jesus as our Savior, we become born again. We become a new self, which is over time, starting with the moment we trust Jesus. Yeah, is renewing us, making us different, making us newer in the knowledge after the image of God. God is chipping away the rough parts in us. Why? To make us more like him. Why? Because we are called to go into this world and be light. We are called to live and trust in Jesus no matter what. And that is our greatest tool for bringing people into Christ, to share our faith, to live it out as real people, not pretending that we've got stuff together. I think the more we talk about it and can pray for each other, I think that's what God has called us to do. But the good news in all that is when God redeems an individual, you know, he begins this restoration, which begins at that moment, but continues to the time that he takes us home. We were created to be like God. And he says in Ephesians 4, in true righteousness and holiness, God sees us as precious. He gave us the gift of being righteous, not in our behavior, but in our position, because when we accept God, the penalty of sin is gone, and God sees us clearly as righteous because we are no longer plagued with the penalty of sin and therefore become his children. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. And this is just so cool because of what he's done, we can speak on behalf of God and his truth into issues embraced by a godless society. And I think it's important that we talk about this. I think it's important that we not just take these truths, that we are made in the image of God, and go on with our lives. We've got a culture who is upside down, who is fighting against every truth that God has given us. And I think being that voice for God, it takes courage and possible rejection, even from friends and family. I've witnessed this myself. But sadly, for many Christians, the price for standing up for God's truth is too great for them. And they go silent on critical issues. Life matters to God. He created all life to live and to speak for his glory. And when a society believes that humanity evolved and has no value, then supporting unborn children, it seems to the world, to society, to the godless society, to be a right thing to do because they don't see value in life. But knowing the value of every life, the Christian, we all must stand up for the unborn, for those who have no voice, for those who are truly hungry and suffering. We go to places that make us maybe feel uncomfortable and help them and pray with them and give them food and give them clothing because we are God's hands and feet. You know, I'm thinking right now, you know, for the least of these. You did these for the least of me, because when we serve others, when we speak out for the unborn, for the lonely, for the sick, God is pleased. We know this because in scriptures, you did this for me, he says. And that's the joy of being a Christian, where we can pray for one another, and we know God's spirit is holy, it's powerful, and can speak into the lives of every single person born on this earth. But I think we need to be men and women who love and forgive those who go against Christians, because they, like us, are born in the image of God. And for me this week, just thinking about people who we see who just plain seem evil, you know, to hurt, to cause pain and suffering, who are selfish, this and that and the other. And they are also made in the image of God. They have choices to make, and we pray for them. And you know, it just is different when we can see ourselves made in the image of God, saved by God to do good. And I think this is why it's so important to understand that being human means we're set apart, we're loved by God, we're made in his image. But we need to understand as Christians that it just isn't enough, because sin and judgment for God will follow those who do not believe in Jesus. And it's our responsibility to live out our faith as light to the lost and be ready to and willing to share the hope of Jesus by the way we live, by the way we love, by the way we forgive. And life is not perfect. Perfect is broken. And I don't know of a perfect relationship on this earth outside of the one with Christ. And I think that, for me, this idea of focusing here rather than poor me, what's going on, who I am. And in the midst of all that's going on, God knows he's with us. He comforts us. And I think he would tell all of us, I'm with you here. And this is painful, but you'll be better because of it. And I don't get it, but we're called to understand the essence of serious suffering But we do know one thing, that God does, and he's allowing it for our own good. And it's amazing when you talk to people that are suffering, that their faith seems so real listening to them, and so right, and so hopeful. And so John 3:3, truly I tell you, no one can come into the kingdom of God unless they're born again, unless they trust. So it seems to me, being human, God has placed us in a position to put our trust in him. We are without excuse because he made us with a soul to believe, to listen to God, to read his word, and to meditate. Mm-hmm. And he's purposed us all through the way we live to make a difference in a life. And I think that is why this message is so powerful, because we are equipped. We are equipped to do anything that comes in our way. We're equipped, not because we're strong, but because God in us is. And that's the issue. But Satan would certainly love to get into our life.
Oh, yeah.
Say, see, he's abandoned you. You don't matter, or you wouldn't be suffering.
Well, he's the father of lies.
No. The people that he or she are reaching through their suffering is immeasurable.
Yeah, it is just stunning to me that God has placed so much value on such human fragility, and that he loves us to the degree that he does. This has been so good, Nancy. Our biblical worldview question of the week, again, if you've just tuned in, why does it matter that we were created as humans? You'll be able to access this audio, by the way, by clicking on the resources tab if you want to hear the entire conversation again at kellyandsteve.org. Want to encourage you to also go to anchorsaway.org. You'll be able to find it there, as well as some great resources on biblical worldview, and you'll be able to learn about training there and be able to connect with Nancy as well. Very valuable and necessary training. Get your youth group involved at church too. There are materials there that you can use to help your young people learn how to stand firm on their faith, because you know what? You're going to be sending them on out of your youth group. They're going to age out. Youth pastors go on to college. All that work you put into them, we don't want to watch them drift away from the faith once they hit college.
That's right. So go on over to anchorsaway.org. Also, wherever you get your podcasts, subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever that's at, look for Anchors Away, and you'll get all that audio as well.